Two Mishnayos ago, we saw a case of a bed which became Tomei, and one of the parts of the bed came off, and it was replaced with a different beam. This was one of the many cases which we saw of an item which has two different kinds of Tumah. On the one hand, this item is attached and a part of the rest of the bed, which is an Av HaTumah, which in that case of the Mishnah was a primary source of impurity, and the very fact that it's attached to that means that it has the same status. It's also considered to be part of that larger kli, which has an Av HaTumah. In addition to that, even if we ignore the fact that it's attached and it's part of a kli, which is an Av HaTumah, a primary source of impurity, it also has touched something which is an Av HaTumah. It has touched a source of impurity, which means that as long as it has the status of a kli, that beam which was added on would be considered a Rishon Tumah, one step removed from the Av HaTumah which it touched. Now, for as long as the beam is attached to the rest of the bed and nothing else happens, the fact that it's a Rishon HaTumah is totally irrelevant, because it's an even higher level of impurity. It's an Av HaTumah, because it's part of that larger bed which has a status of a primary source of impurity. But we learnt that if another beam of the bed frame comes off, then the entire bed would no longer have that original status of an Av HaTumah, since if we ignore the parts which were added on later on, and we only look at the parts of the bed which were there when it became Tomei, so it's not considered to be a kli at all, because two of the bed boards have come off. Now, because of that, the boards which were added on later on are also not going to be considered an Av HaTumah. They were only considered an Av HaTumah because they were attached to something which itself is an Av HaTumah. However, those boards are considered to be a Rishon HaTumah. Now it becomes relevant that they touched the bed when it was an Av HaTumah. And since those beams that were added are considered to be a Rishon HaTumah, the entire bed is considered to be a Rishon HaTumah because of the fact that it's touching and attached, because of the fact that it's attached to the boards, the beams which are an a Rishon HaTumah. This Mishnah brings basically the exact same laws, just with a different example, and that is an example of tefillin. There's a mitzvah for men to place tefillin on their arm and on their head, and inside the box of the tefillin are written four different parts of the Torah, and in the tefillin shel yad, the tefillin which is placed on the arm, all four parts are written on the same piece of parchment, and it's placed inside that box part of the tefillin. On the other hand, the tefillin shel Rosh is split up into four different compartments, and there are four different pieces of parchment on which the four different parts of the Torah are written on those pieces of parchment and placed in the different compartments. And the Mishnah opens up by telling us that tefillah, the tefillin which is placed on the head, is arba'a kelim. It's considered to be like four different kelim. Now, obviously, it's all considered to be one kli. It's the same item, just four different compartments. The point is, however, we can see all four of those parts of the tefillin as individual parts as well. And even if only one of them is remaining, it would still be able to become tomei. And the Mishnah is now going to show an identical laws to what we saw two Mishnayos ago. Just that over here, instead of discussing a board which comes off of the bed, it's going to be individual compartments. We're talking over here about tefillin which became tomei from a dead body. So the tefillin is now an Av HaTumah, it's a primary level of impurity. If a kli or a person touches it, they will become tomei as a Rishon HaTumah, something which is one step removed from that primary level of impurity. And the Mishnah says that Hitur Katsitsa HaRishona, the person undid and he took off the first compartment and he fixed it, meaning he replaced it with a different compartment. Mishnah says, Tomei Tomei Meis, the entire tefillin, all four compartments are Tomei, with the Tumah of something which became Tomei from a dead body. It's all considered to be an Av HaTumah. And even though the fourth compartment wasn't there when it became Tomei from a dead body, since it's attached and it makes up part of the same kli ultimately, it's all part of the same tefillin, therefore it becomes Tomei. V'chein Shnia, similarly, if he does the same to the second compartment, he takes it off and he replaces it with a new one. V'chein Shlishis, if he does that to the third compartment as well, since there still remains one compartment which was there at the time that it became Tomei, and it in and of itself can be Tomei by itself. So all of the other three compartments which are attached to that fourth compartment are also, they're attached to something which is Tomei as a Tomei Mace, something that has Tumah from a dead body, it's a primary level of impurity, so all of that has the same status. What happens if Hittis or Avias, he undoes the fourth compartment when he takes it off, even if he replaces it afterwards, there is now no longer any part of the tefillin that was there when it became Tomei from the dead body. And the whole reason why these items, these different compartments have the status of an Avatuma is only because they're attached to something that isn't Avatuma because it was there when it became Tomei. But now none of the tefillin, which was there at the time that it became Tomei, still exist. So they're not attached to something which has an Avatuma. So they're not considered an Avatuma. The Mishnah says, in terms of the Tumah which comes from a dead body, they are pure. Aval, however, Tomei or Maga Tomei Meis, they are Tomei on the level of something that touched something that became Tomei from a dead body. In exactly the same way as we explained with regards to the bed. But yes, may we now have four compartments on the tefillin, because he replaced the fourth one as well. So the first three that he replaced were part of the tefillin at the same time as there existed a compartment that wasn't Av HaTumah. So essentially, all of them are considered to have touched an Av HaTumah. However, the fourth compartment that was added, after there were no longer any parts of the tefillin that were an Av HaTumah. So the fourth compartment essentially is something that touched a Rishon HaTumah. It touched the other three compartments that became Tomei from an Av HaTumah. Now, a Kli which touches a Rishon HaTumah does not become Tomei, and therefore the fourth compartment is not Tomei. Now, that's not actually true, because as long as the fourth compartment is attached to the three compartments, it has that kind of tumah from the very fact that it's attached to something which is Tomei. But that tumah obviously only lasts for as long as it's actually attached to the rest of those three compartments. And because of that, Chazal Rishayin of a Sikh Vetira, if he goes back to the first compartment and unties it, he takes it off, Vitikna, and he replaces it with a new compartment, Tmei Bamaga. That new compartment is Tomei because it is attached to the rest of the tefillin, which has the status of a Rishayin Latuma, Mechen Shania, and the same applies if he takes off the second compartment and replaces it. Hitis Ashalicious, but if he takes off the third compartment and then replaces it, we now have no longer any compartments which even touched an Avatuma. It was only the first three compartments that touched an Avatuma. So now all we're left with is the fourth compartment that touched the Rishon HaTumah, and also these other things that touched the Rishon HaTumah. But something which touched the Rishon HaTumah does not become Tomei if it's not actually attached to it. And therefore, Tahira, all of the compartments, the entire tefillin would be pure, Sheher Avias B'maga, because the full compartment was only Tomei by touching the other compartments, and even then, only because it was attached to it, a Maga Oysa Maga, and a Rishon HaTumah, something which became Tomei by touching a primary source of impurity, does not make the next thing that touches it Tomei. And once again, this Mishnah is pretty much identical to two Mishnahs ago, just with a different example of tefillin instead of the bed. Mishnah test. Mito shenignav chetzia, a bed whose half was stolen. That is to say, the bed was split into half, which means that you have one short end and one long end of the bed attached to two legs, and you got that twice. The bed was essentially split into two. As long as the bed presumably will be attached once again and put together again, even though currently it is obviously useless as a bed, it nevertheless retains its status as a kli. It's not considered to be broken. It's in a moment going to be put together again. So although, of course, if you began by making just two sides of the bed, it wouldn't become Tomei. When talking about removing the status of a kli from an item which until now has been a kli, that is, so to speak, harder to do, and it would retain its status of a kli, since it is bound to be put together once again. However, in this case, one of the halves was stolen, and therefore it's no longer presumably going to be put together again. So in that case, it would stop being Tomei, Ovelchetzia, or if half of it, one of the halves got lost, Oichalakua Achin, or if brothers who inherited their father who died, they split the bed, meaning one person owns this half, the other one owns the other half. It's therefore no longer considered to be something which is bound to be put together again. Two different people own it. A shutfin, or if partners, people who had until now jointly owned the bed, if they split those two halves and now each one owns half. In this case, to Hayra, each half would become pure. It would lose the status of a kli. What happens if Echsidruha, if even in these cases they did end up putting the bed together and making it into one again, it is able to become Tomei from then onwards. If it comes into contact with a source of impurity, it would become Tomei. This is unlike a case which we'll see in the next Mishnah, the beginning of the next Perek, where a bed was taken apart totally into small parts, to the extent that those individual parts are not able to become Tomei as long as they are separated. because they lack significance at all. It's not as if you've got half a bed. Each part of the bed is by itself now. Nevertheless, we're going to see that when all of those parts are put together again, since all along that was bound to happen, they would go back to their original tumor status. So if the bed became Tome, and then it was taken apart into all of these individual pieces, and then it was put together again, it would return to being Tome. But that's over there where all along it was bound to be put together again. In this case, where when the bed was split into two, we did begin viewing them as two totally separate parts, which would not end up being put together. Even if in the future they do end up being put together, that's something new. So it would be able to become Tome from then onwards, but it would not go back to its original tumor that it had before being split into two. We're going to understand the next part of the Mishnah as talking about a single beam, one of the four beams which makes up the outer frame of the bed. We're talking about one of the shorter ends, the head or the foot of the bed, and it's attached to at least one leg of the bed. And once again, this is something that, if designated for a particular purpose of supporting somebody's weight, it can be used possibly as a kind of stool, then it would be able to become Tome if a Zov or somebody with such a level of impurity will sit on it. And if a dead body also comes into contact with it, it will be able to become Tome. The question is, do we view this end board of the bed and the leg as one Kli or as two different Kalim? And this has two ramifications. One, if a source of impurity touches one part of it, will the other part become Tome? Again, as long as it's attached, it will be Tome, but if then those two parts are taken apart, it would make a difference if it was considered to be part of the same Kli or not. And the second ramification is with regards to dipping it into a mikveh, a body of natural water which is used for purifying Kalim that became Tome. Because in order to purify a Tome Kli by putting it into a mikveh, it has to be that the water touches every single part of the Kli at the same time. If we consider all of this to be one Kli, then one is able to just put it into the mikveh simply and allow the water to touch all of the outside. But if it's considered to be two different Kalim, then the part of the leg which is attached to the board is not actually touching the water because it's attached and it's only touching the board. The water can't get in there because those two parts are stuck together. So if we consider it to be two different Kalim, one would need to take it apart in order to dip each one of those into the mikveh separately. So the Mishnah says, mitar a bed, and we're talking once again about just the end board of the bed attached to one or two legs. According to the first opinion, mitamo chavila, it becomes tome as a group, meaning it's considered to be one Kli. And the second ramification of that is that umitaheres chavila, it also can be purified as a group, just dipping the entire thing into the mikveh would cause all of it to become pure. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who views this as being one large Kli. The Chachom say, mitama ivarim, it becomes tome as individual parts, meaning if a source of impurity touches only one part, then the second part will not be considered tome, except for the fact that it's attached to that impure piece. And likewise, mitaheres ivarim, it also needs to be purified as individual parts. It would have to be separated, and then each individual part dipped into the mikveh by itself. As we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, a bed which is taken apart into many, many different individual parts, even if the bed had become Tome, as long as it's split into all of these individual parts, which are by themselves insignificant, they are not Tome. However, once those individual parts are put together again to make up the bed, it would go back to its original tumor that it had, since all along it was bound to just be put back together again. Now what happens if somebody places those individual parts into a mikveh in order to purify them? It's true that right now, anyway, they are pure. However, once they'll be put together again, they'll become Tome. The question is, does putting them into a mikveh whilst they're in a state of purity help to stop them becoming Tome again once they are put together? And the answer is, yes, it does help. So we see that even as long as they are in individual parts, those individual parts themselves have the status of something that, when it will be attached, it will be Tome. That having been said, the Mishnah does emphasize that hamafarikas amitalat bila, one who takes apart a bed in order to put the individual parts into a mikveh, which is very likely that's what he will do, because it's pretty difficult to put the entire bed in one go into the mikveh, into this body of water. And the Mishnah is talking about a case where somebody touched these individual parts of the bed when he was putting them into the mikveh. He didn't touch the bed when it was attached, all of the pieces. He only touched the individual pieces by themselves. Or if somebody touches the rope which had been attached to the bed, but currently it's obviously not attached to the bed. Since at that time it was not Tome, even though you are able to get rid of the Tuma from coming back later on, but at the moment it's not Tome, and therefore Toho, the person who touched it, will not become Tome as a result of touching that impure piece. Because at that time, it's not really impure. Now, since you mentioned the ropes, the Mishnah goes on to ask Hachevel, the rope which makes up the base on which the mattress is placed. The rope was essentially woven. From what point is it considered to be something which is attached and part of the bed, such that even the part of the rope which hasn't yet been woven, it's still considered to be Tome because it's going to be woven and it's attached to rope which already is part of the bed? The Mishnah answers, Mishnah Yesarig Bashlei Shabbatim, as soon as he weaves three rows, vertically and horizontally, so there is now a significant part of the bed that has been woven, such that even the rest of the rope which extends from there is considered to be a part of the bed, and therefore it would become Tome as soon as the bed becomes Tome. What happens if the rope is not long enough? So he found another rope and he tied it to the end of this rope. The Mishnah says, "Van again, when I catch v'lifnei, one who touches the part of this extended rope, which is from the knot and inwards, that is to say, he touches the rest of the first rope, Tome, he would become Tome, just like we learned until now. When I catch v'lachutz, if he touches the part of the rope which is from the knot onwards, meaning he touches the second rope which was added on, Tohar, he would remain pure, because that's considered to be kind of an extension of an extension. That would not be considered part of the bed yet until it's actually woven into the bed. What about Nimei HaKesher, the parts of the rope which extend beyond the knot? If none of the rope extends beyond the knot will undo very easily. The question is, what is the status with regards to that part of the rope which extends slightly beyond the knot? As can be shown on the diagram, Hanugea Bitsorkoi, one who touches the part of that rope which is necessary to prevent the knot from untying Tome, he would become Tome. However, if there is a lot of rope which is unnecessary, which extends beyond it, then it would not be considered a necessary extension, and therefore it wouldn't make him Tome. V'chamot Tzorkoi, what is the amount, the length of the rope which is considered to be necessary for the knot not to untie? Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, Sholosh Etzbois, the length of three finger breadths. Mishnah Beis, once all of the rope has been woven through and there is now a proper support at the bottom of the bed for the mattress to be placed on, Hachevel Hayetz Min Amita, any rope which extends beyond the bed after it has all been woven, Ad Chamisha Tfachim, if there is up to five Tfachim of rope which still extends beyond that which was woven into the bed, Tahar, it would be pure, it's not considered to be part of the bed because it's totally useless in terms of the bed. It doesn't assist the bed in any way. So we view it in and of itself, and rope by itself can't become Tome Mechamisho Vadasara. However, if it is anywhere between 5 and 10 tfachim long, then Tome, all of that rope, can become Tome. Because as the Mishnah will explain, it does have a certain use for the bed. However, if it is longer than 10 tfachim, then the part of the rope which is further outwards than 10 tfachim, Tohar, cannot become Tome. Now, what exactly is the use of the rope for up to 10 tfachim of the length of it? Because they would use that rope to tie the Korban Pesach to their beds. Although this was only a requirement in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, when they originally offered up that Korban Pesach, that sacrifice on the first night of Pesach, nevertheless, it was the custom that even in future years, they would tie the animal that they designated to use for the Korban Pesach to their beds. So this rope would be very useful for that purpose. In addition to Meshalshan and Samitais, they would also be able to use this rope in order to lower down the bed, if they had to lower the bed, for example, into a mikveh, a body of water, in order to purify it, or if they wanted to lower it to a lower story of a building, then the rope would be useful. It should be noted that the rope over here is considered to be a yad, a extension which is attached to a kli that in some way assists in the function of the kli. So at least the use of being able to lower the bed makes the rope something that is used for the sake of the bed. That's why it can be considered a yad that can become tome. The usage of being able to tie an animal to the bed is not really connected to the bed, and therefore there are those who suggest that that is not the reason why it's considered to be a yad, an extension that can become tome. Just that since the Mishnah is anyway listing the uses of the extension of the rope, it also mentions this usage as well.